All right, welcome back to Baptist Basics University. I'm Matthew Gage. This is a brand new course. Very excited to get to. It's one of really the original ideas that I had when I first started playing around with the idea of the Baptist Basics University concept. And that was to do a lot of things that helped with ministry. And one of the things I really wanted to do was do a course on preaching. So here we are. This course will be called Homiletics 101, An Introduction to Preaching. And in case you're not familiar, homiletics just means the study of preaching. It's based on the word homily. So that's where that comes from. I don't want that to scare anybody. That's why I put the little tag in the title. That way people that weren't very familiar with the term homiletics would still know what we're talking about. But as I say, I'm very excited to do this course. Not that I am an expert. I guess I have been a preacher now for, a number of years. I surrendered to preach when I was in the third grade. So I don't remember exactly how that made me, but that would probably put me at being a preacher for well over 10, 12 years, something like that. Now, not that I have preached a lot. I have not, and not that I'm a great preacher. I'm far from it. There's plenty of evidence on BaptistBasics.org to that fact. But I know I'm not a terrible preacher, and I know that there are some aspects of preaching that I've understand. It's something I've tried to study, and that's something I don't understand with a lot of preachers, is that they just seem to preach just to preach off the top of their head. They give no thought to what they're doing. They give no thought to how they can do it better. I like to look at preaching as a science. Preaching is a tool that is used. It's a tool that God uses to work on the hearts of individuals. And it is a very important tool. And we will look at ways in this course on how to be a more effective preacher. Now, we're going to lay the groundwork in the first few lessons on the basics of preaching, what it is, and we'll deal with the purpose, being called to preach, the life of a preacher. We'll deal with different types of sermons. So we're going to do quite a bit of background information before we really get into the meat on preaching and tips and tricks to be a more effective speaker. Now, some of the things I plan on covering are going to be things that I've learned myself. Others are going to be things that I have gleaned from others. And I think that is one of the best ways to learn, is by experience, but also from the experience of others. And a wise person learns from other people. And I've tried to observe preachers and see what works for them. How are they preaching? What devices are they using? What is it that makes an effective preacher an effective preacher? What are the things that he does? Now, I don't want to sound like we are disregarding the spiritual aspect, because we're not going to do that in this course. But I really want this to be just a very basic introduction to what preaching is, who a preacher is, the role of the preacher, and just how to preach from a very generic standpoint. Now, I'm a Baptist, as you can tell from the name of my website, BaptistBasics.org, and from the title of this series, Baptist Basics University. And in a traditional sense, in a Baptist church, the sermon is the centerpiece of the service. Everything builds up to it and around it. The song service usually will lead off the service, and it prepares the congregation for the sermon. It helps to get people in tune to what's going on, get people focused. It helps prepare their hearts through introducing and promoting heavenly themes. So it helps to prepare the congregation for the sermon. Usually following that, there's usually special music, where there'll be a solo or a quartet or some type of group that sings, and that just further focuses in the attention from one of participation to reception, and it helps focus everybody in on the one spot on the platform. It helps focus their minds and attention. Then, at the height of all this, or as everything has now focused in, as everybody's hearts and minds are now brought into the church and brought into heavenly things and are now focused on the platform, are now focused on what's happening, that's when the preacher stands to deliver the message that God has given him. And that is the centerpiece of the service. In fact, what happens afterwards even builds off that, because after the preaching, there's usually an altar call, an invitation that's given for people to come down and have a time of prayer to deal with things that were covered in the sermon or whatever the Spirit is leading about, for personal work, for someone, dealing with someone about salvation or other spiritual issues. So, all that is a direct result of the preaching. Everything in a church service is built around preaching. That's the way it should be, because church is not about singing. Singing is wonderful. It has its proper place, but we don't go to church just to hear singing. And that's one thing that this modern church movement has really, really gotten wrong. They put so much emphasis on the music, and it turns into a show, and the preaching is just tagged on to the end of it. They'll spend 30, 45 minutes, an hour singing with praise teams and building up this atmosphere that's really more akin to a rock concert than a church service, then followed by a very weak and short sermon. And it's no wonder that it's a very superfluous form of Christianity that we see. The focus of the service ought to be preaching. Everything ought to revolve around that time. And now, it's not to say that the preacher is someone special, even though in a way he is. It's not because he is the... It's not about him. It's about his role. It's about the office that he's holding there, where he is the man that is going to deliver the message that God has given him to the people. So let's look at what is preaching real quick. We're going to break this down into five different points. Preaching is more than talking. It's more than a speech. It's not just a lecture. Now, preaching can be many different things and can be composed of many different elements. It can include teaching, but preaching is more than teaching. It can include it can include an exhortation, but it's more than an exhortation. It can contain a challenge, but it's more than a challenge. What preaching is, just to nail it down into a nutshell definition, it is the expounding of a Bible-based truth that is delivered so as to press its hearer for a decision and action. Let's break that down. The number one thing about preaching is that it is based on the Bible. This is not philosophy. It's not man-based. It's based on truths from the Bible, and the preacher then takes those truths and helps to illustrate and apply those to the lives of the hearer. And then that hearer, then, because of this Bible-based truth, should be led to a point of decision. Will they follow the guidance that's been given to them? Will they deny it? Will they take encouragement from it? Will they take exhortation from it? Preaching ought to lead to a result. Now, not every service will lead to life-changing moments, but every sermon ought to lead people to make a decision, whether it be just to enhance what they're doing. Maybe it's just to be an encouragement and empower them for the moment. But preaching should not be a waste of time. Preaching should have a purpose. Preaching should have a goal. And that goal should be in some way to affect the hearer to a point that they make a decision, and not just make a decision, but it brings about an action. Now, we're going to look at five things that I consider to be key ingredients to preaching. And since I kind of belabored the point a little bit about it being Bible-based, we're going to base these in the Bible. Isn't that nice of me? So we'll look at Romans chapter 10, and we'll take our first couple points from Romans. As soon as I find it here in my Bible. You can tell I don't edit this stuff because I could make myself sound a little bit better with my stuttering and my page turning, but I like the down-home authenticity that it brings. So, Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? So the first thing we'll look at is the preacher. It is a man. The first thing that is required in preaching is a man. Preaching is not done by a computer. It's done by man. Preaching is when a man of God stands to deliver God's message. A lot of this is based upon this man. While preaching, the preacher becomes an instrument of God. Now, I play a few instruments. I play the piano in our church. I have a guitar. I have a fiddle. I can play a little bit on both of those. I'm not very good at them. But while those, let's use my guitar for an example. Right now, it's sitting in a closet in a case. Now, as long as it is in the closet in its case, it's not making music. But when I pick it up and get my pick and I start to play it and I start picking on it or strumming chords, it starts to make music. Now, who is making the music? Is it the musician or is it the instrument? Well, the instrument's not doing of its own self. It is the musician. A preacher is the instrument. God is the musician. And in a perfect sense, this is the way it ought to be, is that God is bringing out his message through the man. The man just is the errand boy. He's just the one bearing the message. Just like, in olden times, that when you wanted to send a message, you had to have a courier, and you would write your message and seal it, and then hand it to the courier, and the courier would then go and carry the message to its destination and deliver the message. The preacher is the courier. He is simply the message boy. He's just the guy delivering the telegram. In preaching in its purest form, that is what takes place. Now, a preacher is not just any individual. Now, I don't want to go so far as to say that only a preacher can preach, because in a sense, every Christian preaches. You can preach the gospel and not be a preacher. But as far as a leadership position in the church and as a person delivering sermons inside a church service, I do believe that a man should be called of God. And we'll talk some about that call in a later lesson. But I believe that God places a call and a burden on men that leads them into the ministry. But it goes further than that. It goes further than just being called, and surrender. Listen, in my church one time I counted, and there were 10 or 12, I don't remember exactly, young men within about 5 years of my age that surrendered to preach. And of those, three actually made it into Bible college and through Bible college, and right now are still in the ministry or preaching or involved in the church. Maybe not full time, but they are faithful in the ministry that they have. Just three. I mean, we're talking 25%, something like that. So not everyone that's called makes it. And there's a lot of reason for that. A lot of people just fall into sin or backslide, or maybe they surrender to something they weren't truly called for. That does happen also. But a preacher is not only called, but he's gifted. He's empowered for this task. If a person is called to preach, then God will give him the ability to preach. Now, that doesn't mean that every man that stands behind the pulpit is a great orator, but it does mean that man is equipped to deliver the message of God in some form. Maybe it is through soaring rhetoric. It could be. Maybe it is just in being able to share his heart and his emotions. There are many preachers that are not very good speakers, but their heart is just so contagious. Maybe he's a guy that can get up and yell and scream and throw chairs and get his point across that way. Maybe he's a very quiet person who barely talks above a whisper, but gets his point across. The bottom line is, and I guess I kind of take a, I've lost it. I kind of take a different viewpoint. The ends kind of justify the means. I can't think of the word I'm thinking of right now, but listen, as long as the point's being get across, there's a lot about the art of preaching that just boils down to what can the man do? What can the preacher do? What has God gifted him to do? What ability does he have to get the message across? Now, sermons are not spontaneous. They don't just happen. Now, there are certain groups of Christians that believe, you know, the preacher stands up and he just magically gets the word and preaches. That's not how it should work. And I know a lot of young preachers. I know Dr. Jack Hiles's testimony was that, you know, he believed that you just got up, opened your Bible, and read a verse and started yelling. So there are a lot of people that think, but that's what happened. But it really the sermon is born, is carried, and it's delivered by men. Man is the courier of the message, which will lead us to the second point, which is the message. And we'll look at Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And how shall they preach except they be sent? They have a message that they are supposed to bring. Preachers are not just speakers. They have a specific message that they are supposed to deliver. What is a preacher supposed to say? He's supposed to give God's words. He's supposed to give God's truth to the people. He's not there to entertain. He's not there to impress people. He is there to be a messenger of God's message. Now, the Holy Spirit works through study and prayer to guide the preparation of the sermon. As I say, sermons are not spontaneous things. They should take some time and some effort and some organization to be created into a mature form. And the Holy Spirit works through that study and through that preparation to help mold a sermon. There have been times where I knew I was supposed to preach in the coming service. I would sit down and begin to study and follow a vein of thought and get to developing outline and just know this is not the right one. And I'll study a little bit more and come across another idea. Go to developing outline and it just all falls apart. And then suddenly I'll think, well, you know, there was that Sunday school lesson I did a while back. And I'll pull it out and it's like the Holy Spirit says, that's the one. It just all somehow works. And it's because the Holy Spirit would be working in preparing, because that was the sermon that I needed to preach. And I'm sure anybody that's preached any amount will have experienced something similar to that. So the main ingredients of preaching, the first is we have a man. The second is we have the message. which we could go so much further into, that it should be Bible-based, it should be God-given, it should be of the utmost importance, it should lead to decisions, it should lead to change. We could go much further into that, but we're going to try to get through the rest of these points. The third point is the method. Now we'll flip back to the book of Acts, chapter number 8, and verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So what is the method of preaching? It's talking. It's speech. Now, preaching is very different from just speaking. I mean, think of all the different forms of speaking. We could speak conversationally, but that's not preaching. We could speak as a lecture, but that's not preaching. We could speak poetry, but that is not preaching. We could even really stretch it and say that we can speak musically and singing, but that is not preaching. Preaching is speaking. It should be through speaking. Now, if there's anybody, a little smart aleck sitting out there that says, well, what about deaf people? Well, they speak through their hands, okay? But it is through speech. Preaching should press for a decision, and it should lead to actions based on a truth. Now, if I was teaching, I merely would want to get a truth across and into the mind of an individual, and maybe a step further and help them to apply it to their life, to their betterment. Preaching does not do that. Preaching should drive the person to make a core decision in their life. It's not about convincing the mind logically as much as it is bringing the heart to realization that as an individual, we are out of harmony with God's word and God's will, and we must make a change. That's what preaching should bring about. Now, preaching can include all these other elements, teaching, it can be motivating, it can be a number of things, but in the end, preaching is going to bring its hearer to a point of decision. I read a book, and I'm looking on my bookshelf and don't see it here handy, but I have a book I bought, I don't know, probably 10 years ago, found at a used bookstore. It's just it is a book on preaching, and it, I won't say the American Baptist publishing house published it, and I don't remember the title. I'll have to find it. But one thing in it that really, really helped me was the idea that preaching was a logical argument, and that just like in a court debate, everything that the lawyer says and how he presents his case is to lead the judge and jury to a point that they agree with him. Preaching is similar in an aspect to that, because everything about preaching should bring people to a point to where they have to make a decision on a truth. For example, let's say you're preaching a sermon on prayer. Well, at the end of that sermon, it should not be, well, hey, I know more about prayer. No, it should be, am I praying enough? How can I pray better? Those are the kind of things that preaching should bring about. So let's look at the first thing was the man. The second was the message. The third, the method. And number four, we will have the motivation. Acts chapter 8, we'll stay right here and look over in... turn the page here and look back in verses 5 and 6. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. There's a lot of different goals we can have in preaching, but the result is basically the same. It's to bring people to action. The first and primary goal of preaching, and any preacher should agree with this, the first major goal of preaching is to bring the lost to accept Christ as Savior. that is the main thing. That is the thing that affects all eternity. That is the main thing. Not all sermons are based on that, though. So you can have other motivations in preaching, such as inspiring workers to faithfulness, strengthening a believer's walk, anything in helping bring an individual closer to Christ. That'd be a good way of summarizing that. The motivation for preaching is to bring the individual closer to Christ, closer to conforming to his image. First step, of course, into salvation, but then as a Christian in growing in grace so that we are more like our Savior, so that our relationship and walk with him is strengthened. So, but in the end, there should be an action. I keep going back to that. Pragmatism, that's the word I could not think of. I'm very pragmatic when it comes to my philosophy of preaching. I don't care if you fall out of chairs. I don't care if you scream or holler. I don't care if you whisper. I don't care if you sing songs or quote poetry. But the bottom line is you ought to be bringing your congregation, your audience, to a decision point that they have to decide, will I be closer to Christ based on what the sermon has said? And not only bring them to that point of decision, but to help push them over the edge so that they choose to be a better Christian, so that they choose to better their walk with God. Sermons are not just to fill time, they are to accomplish things. The motivation of preaching is to bring people to Christ, whether in salvation or in growing in grace. And the last thing we'll look at is the mandate of preaching. We'll flip back over to the book of 2 Timothy and chapter 4 and verse number 2. It says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." But I want you to see from this verse, what did Paul tell his young convert, his protege in the ministry? What did he tell him? Did he tell him to teach? No. Did he tell him to build a building? No. What did he tell him to do? He told him to preach. God has chosen to work in this day through preaching. Now, during the transition time in the book of Acts, there were still miracles being performed. Those miracles were not performed to bring people to Christ. Those miracles were performed to validate the message that the apostles and the disciples and the evangelists were preaching. God has chosen, he does not work that way any longer. Not to say God's not in the miracle working business. He can still perform a miracle. It just probably won't be on the stage with Benny Hinn. In fact, I can just about guarantee you it won't be on the stage with Benny Hinn. How'd I get off on that? But God has chosen to work through preaching. He doesn't have angels emblazon his message across the sky. He doesn't give us phone calls. He doesn't send us emails. How does God choose to work in our lives? Now, on a personal level, of course, yes, it is through our Bible reading, through our prayer, through personal time spent with God. But in helping to build that walk, God works through preaching. We have the Bible as a foundation, as a guidebook, as a source book for our preaching. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to empower us in our effort. We are supposed to take this gospel to a lost and dying world. That's the first goal. The second goal then is to help bring those believers, those Christians, to a higher spiritual level. Those are the goals of preaching. And when we preach, that's what should happen. As I say, in theory, in a perfect world, that's what should happen. Not that every sermon will produce a convert. I know it doesn't happen. Some preachers have the power of God in their life to the point that does happen. Most do not. There are times a sermon is preaching, the altar is filled and tears are being shed and lives are being changed. And there's other times it's hard to get anyone to come down. That doesn't mean that the sermon was totally ineffective, but, and we're not supposed to, you shouldn't judge your preaching based on the response of the altar. It's really not a good idea to do so because you don't know how the Spirit is moving. I've gotten more people to come and come to me personally after preaching. In fact, I'm thinking one particular time I preached a sermon and it was really more of a Bible study, and so there wasn't just a whole lot of necessarily preaching. It was kind of a systematic study of a subject through the Bible. And I didn't have a lot of people come down and pray, and I thought, wow, boy, nobody listened to me. But I had a number of people afterwards come to me and say that that sermon was a help and a blessing to them. But it was not the type of sermon that you're going to have people, shedding tears down at the altar on. So you can't judge it by that. That's free. I don't know how I keep chasing these rabbit trails. It wouldn't be a good course on preaching if you weren't chasing some rabbits, so. Well, that'll do it for our first lesson. Now, I'm going to close. I didn't know where else to fit this in here, but as an introduction to what preaching is, I want to give you some quotes that I like where some great preachers of old have tried to define preaching. The first couple are by a guy named Phillips Brooks, and he was one of the leading pulpiteers in America in the last part of the 19th century. He's also the writer of the song "O Little Town of Bethlehem" to the words of that. And now, not exactly my stripe of denominationally, but he had a very influential book or a book of lectures printed on preaching. And I can't say that I've read parts of it. I own the book. I've read parts of it. And I can't say that I agree with everything. It really falls off after the first little bit. But he has some basic underlying philosophy to his idea of preaching that I really liked. The first of which, he said, truth through personality is our description of real preaching. Truth through personality. That was how Phillips Brooks defined preaching. Now, what does that mean? We have God's truth, but how does God's truth get to the ears of the hearer and get into the mind and the soul of the hearer? It is through a person, and that was what he defined a personality. And when you think about it, man is the instrument. God is playing the music, that's the truth, and man is the instrument. And every man is different, just like there are many different instruments. There, a banjo does not sound like a guitar. A guitar does not sound like a violin. A violin does not sound like a piano. A piano does not sound like a harpsichord. A harpsichord does not sound like a kazoo. They all sound differently, but every one of them can make music, with the possible exception of a kazoo. But all of them make music. And God works through the individual, through the personality of the individual even, to get his truth across. You'll see that many of the great and effective preachers had a grasp of this truth that they knew to get their point across meant, in a lot of ways, to use themselves physically in their hand motions, and even on a practical sense in using their personality and using what worked about their personal life and personal charisma. They knew how to use that to help further the truth of God. The second very basic definition that was also given by Phillips Brooks is preaching is the communication of truth by man to men. I like that one too, because what is preaching when you get down to it? It's a man delivering God's word to his fellow man. Another one that is very good, I like. In fact, these last two are very simple. Jack Hiles in his book, Teaching on Preaching, which is very good, by the way, says, that preaching is truth set on fire. I like that, because just transferring truth really would be teaching, but preaching goes a step further. Preaching, someone said preaching is teaching with a tear in the eye. That's another way of saying this, and a little bit different light. But preaching goes a step beyond teaching. There is a truth there, and that truth should be being transferred or examined or brought to light by the preacher, but it goes a step further, and it ought to be a truth alive. It ought to be truth applied. That's what preaching is. And finally, one by the famed preacher of the mid-20th century, Martin Lloyd-Jones, he's very famous for this, says, what is preaching? Logic on fire. Now, I like this one just because preaching, a good sermon is a logical expression of truth. And you'll see that. Now, there's different forms of sermons. We'll get into that. But a good sermon will have a logical structure, and it really is working to get the truth across to a person. But it's not just cold logic. I don't know if you were like me and took geometry class. I remember taking geometry in high school and having to prove all the statements. I hope, you know, it scarred me for life. I hope it didn't scar y'all like it did me. And I like logic. I enjoy logic exercises and games and stuff. But preaching goes beyond that. Preaching is the conveying of a truth, but that truth should be alive. So these last two definitions are very similar. But what is preaching? It is getting that truth across from one man to another. Okay. And as I just wanted to close with those. Those are quotes that I like. And I wanted to go ahead and just kind of throw those in here as way of introduction. Well, I appreciate you listening, and I hope that you enjoy this course. I'm looking very forward to continuing developing it. At this time, I don't have hardly any of the notes done, but I've just kind of played around with an outline that I want to follow. So I hope that it'll be a help and a blessing to you. I feel that there really is a need for something like this for you, especially young preachers, but I want it to be something that will help preachers that have been preaching for a while. Let's say I don't know how far I can go, because I myself don't have just a whole lot of practical experience in preaching, but I just want to give you some truths and some things that I have learned, that I've observed, that I have gleaned from others. So I hope it's a help and blessing to you. I hope that you enjoy the course. Be sure and check out the other courses that are available at baptistbasics.org/BBU. To check out all the Baptist Basics University courses that are available. There's some other ones that'll help you in your ministry. We've got we got one on the children's church and one on the bus ministry. We have one on Baptist history. And the one that I just finished wrapping up just earlier this week is the Gospel of John. I got 38 lectures, over 24 hours of audio going through the book of John. And I think it'd be a help and a blessing to you. Now, it's not preaching at its finest, and it's not even teaching at its finest, but I do think that you could learn something and take something away from it. So I appreciate you listening, and hope that this course is helping blessing to you. If you need to get a hold of me, and catch up with me at baptistbasics.org, my email, webmaster@baptistbasics.org. And you can catch these lessons many different ways at the website or even on iTunes. And I'm looking into some other possibilities to kind of help get the word out about them. So anyway, I will quit rambling on about the website. I'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you.